I'll try to be quick. I'm trying not to hold everybody here tonight. But at the age of 10, a innocent young boy was finding himself in a place of addiction. And as I was thinking this weekend about what God has brought me from, I was just kind of going through the stories in my head. And he found him place in a place of addiction. And through the years that he tried to bring this to God and coming back and forth and struggling with this addiction of pornography and an addiction of lust and of sin. And, you know, he struggled with this thing for 10 long years. And I began to think about this, the story was about me. I'm gonna share my testimony here tonight, if the Lord will be with me. And I might get a little embarrassed, and I might get a little frightened, but just bear with me here tonight. And I remember at the age of 10 coming across something that I would never forget, and coming across something that the enemy would put a hold in my life. And I begin to think this weekend, you know, we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, and everybody's getting excited about what the Lord's going to do on Resurrection Sunday. And I begin to think about what God did for me. And I begin to think about what God had brought me through and what he's brought me from. And I begin to think, you know, I struggled with something for 10 long years of my life. And I struggled with shame, and I struggled with addiction, and I struggled with remorse. And I just felt useless. I felt like I was just stuck. And, you know, there was other things that came along. There was thoughts of suicide, and there was thoughts of things that gripped my mind. And I begin to think about this, and I know this is a little offset. This don't normally happen, but I'm just sharing my heart here tonight. And I remember one Sunday morning, and you know how Sunday mornings are around here. And I remember that God delivering me from that. And God had saved me all throughout the years, and I had asked for forgiveness. But I remember being delivered from that sin and being delivered from that addiction. And then I remember in an encounter youth service that we had here on a Tuesday night of being not just delivered, but set completely free in my mind. And I remember as I fell on my face over here in this corner, when the Lord just began to work in my mind. And he began to work on my heart, and he began to change something in me. And that was really at the starting point of when I really wanted to start. You know, I'd been praying, I've been seeking, I've been doing more, trying to get away from what lust and the things that the enemy had begun to torture my mind with. But that night, I can truly say that he set me free. And so my title here tonight is "He Set Me Free." And in John, I'm going to go, we're going to kind of follow the theme of this week. And I'll try not to hold everybody here tonight. But John 12, verses 12 through 13, it says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees. And he went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" As we look towards heaven tonight, just reach your hand out and pray that the Lord would anoint me here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Jesus, for this night. God, we pray that you would just be with us here tonight, Lord. Anoint my lips, God, to say the things that only you would have them to say. God, I pray that you would just be in these altars this night, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, we thank you, Lord. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated here tonight. Hallelujah. As we read this passage of Scripture, this is Jesus coming in, and they begin to cry, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." They begin to sing the praises of the King. They begin to exalt the King. They begin to exalt Jesus as they are recognizing him as the King. And as we go into Luke 23 in verses 13 through 21, and it says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said unto them, 'Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people.' And behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now we're in a different portion of this story. They have got Jesus. Jesus has already been handed over. He's already been betrayed. And we find that they are asked, the chief priest and the priest, and they're bringing him before Pilate. And they're accusing Christ of all these things, and they begin to yell, "Crucify him!" And so we go from praising and worshiping and praising and saying Hosanna and blessed be the King to now crucify him. And in verse 17 it says, "For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Now they're not calling him the king anymore. They're not singing his praises, but they're calling him a man. They're saying, "Release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." You have Jesus, the Son of God, on one side, and you have Barabbas, a murderer, a thief, and a rebel, or whatever you might want to call Barabbas. And they're given two options here. You want somebody that's done nothing, that is innocent, that has done nothing but heal, save, and deliver. And you want somebody that's stealing and he's murdered. And they've been given a choice. Who do you want? And they want Barabbas. And Jesus is silent. And I begin to think about this, and I have shared something on Facebook multiple times that talks about who is Barabbas. Who is Barabbas? And if you want to find that, you can get with me after church, and I'll show you. But as I begin to watch that video, and it begins to come, it begins to say, "I am Barabbas." And it begins to point out something. It says that God knew that he was going to have to treat Jesus as Barabbas in order for Barabbas to be treated as Jesus. And he took Barabbas' place. And I begin to think about that, how Christ took our place. And he took our shame and he took our guilt and he began to place it on himself. And I begin to think about that, and it's really helped me through my struggles and through my trials and my temptations, because I begin to think, Lord, I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. I've come to you time and time again, and I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve to be treated with respect. I don't deserve to feel your presence in my life. And all along, Christ is saying, "I have forgiven you. I took that upon myself so that you may walk free." And I begin to think about that and ponder that. And as Sister Lindsay was talking about, it's hard to look at that picture of the cross because we see what he did for us. We see what he did for me, even though he says, "Why we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for me. He died for you. And I begin to think about that, the cross. And I know a lot of times we see these pictures of the crucifixion and they want to beautify it and they want to make it look beautiful. But the cross was not beautiful. If you were there that day, you might shield your eyes. You might shield your young one's eyes. You might not even be there, because of the gruesome, the things that Christ endured, for us. The things that he endured for you and I, the pain, the suffering, the anguish he took for us. And I begin to think of that, why? Why would God do that? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Hallelujah. I am thankful for that. You know, I was running around. I just started getting something in me here tonight because I know what God sprung me from. I know what God's done for me. Has He done anything for you here tonight? Has He brought you from something here tonight? Oh, He's worthy of our praise, church. He's worthy. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. And in verse 21, it says, but they cried, saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. And in verse 23, verses 24 through 25, it says, and Pilate gave the sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And I begin to think, how many times have I put him back up on that cross? And that's what really, I'll be honest with you, that's what really drug me to my knees is, well, why? Is there even a point of me coming back? Is there even, if I'm just going to continue to do the same thing, if I'm going to continue to nail him up on that cross, and that was what really got at me, that's what really ate at me, was the shame of taking our Savior, somebody who loved me enough to forgive me and to die on a cross, and to put him back somewhere where there was pain and anguish. And it began to eat at me, and it began to change my mindset. Like, you know, I don't feel worthy enough. I don't feel like I can come to him with this. Why? And that's, you know, I began to think, you know, that was the enemy. The good old devil trying to plant things in my mind. You know, trying to get us in that place of self-pity. Or, you know, I begin to think about that. You know, Pastor talks about it, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, talking about that being in that self-pity, being in that place of, well, oh me, oh my, what am I going to do? But God has provided the answer for us. And I had to come to that realization that God paved the way. And He did. And I am so thankful for it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know this is going to be a short message, but in Isaiah 53, 3 through 8, it says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was depressed, and He was esteemed, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs, and cried, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. Christ paved the way. He set me free. It was Him all along that began to pave the way, and He knew. And you look at this and you think, you know, we read that, you know, that they chose Barabbas, but Christ was silent. Christ set Barabbas free. Christ was the one that set him free that day. Christ was the one that said, you go ahead. I love you. I will take your place for you. And I begin to think about the power in that. You know, He set us free. And if I could have a piano player here tonight, as we're standing here tonight, I know this wasn't lengthy. I just shared what was on my heart, what the Lord laid on my heart, but I want to better understand how much God really loves us. I want us to understand how much God really cares for us. If we're going through something, if we're fighting something, if we're going through it, He understands. He bore that. He took that upon Him. And I begin to think about this here tonight. I know, it's coming up. You know, we got Friday, we got Saturday, and then Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. You know, He didn't just die for our sins, but He rose again. We don't serve someone who didn't just stayed in the grave. He didn't just stay there in defeat. And it wasn't defeat. But he rose again. And He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. We serve a living God. We serve a God who is worthy of our praise. We serve a God that is big enough through anything that you're going through, He can handle it. If you're going through something here tonight, God's big enough. God's big enough. How big is God to you? How big is God to you? We might have a Jericho wall in our way, but God's big enough to bring them walls down. We might have a giant in our way, but God will provide the stone, the solution for that problem. You might find yourself in prison, but God will put a song on your lips. There is victory, church, and it's through Jesus. It is through Jesus. As we come around these altars, we begin to pray. Just see God's face here tonight. He is the answer, church. He is the answer.